Welcome to Shooter's Corner, your program for conversation on guns, shooting, and your Second Amendment rights. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. Now, your host, Chuck Indereeden.
All right, welcome listeners. You're here with Chuck Indereeden. We got Matt running the board for us and Teresa doing oversight in case we screw something up. Is the button illuminated, Matt?
Everything's illuminated. We're good to go today.
Bumped anything? Yeah, I think no, we're good.
Not yet.
Well, it's currently zero, which means it's, what, 50 degrees warmer? So but it's still fun. 70 degrees cooler than what I want it to be quite honest with you. Yeah. But once again, it's kind of froggy out there, so please drive with your headlights on. And as Matt said, brush your taillights off, too.
Please. Yeah,
brush your tail. So, welcome to Shooter's Corner here at the KFAR studio here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. As always, feel free to call in at 907-458-TALK, 458-8255. If you have any questions, comments, I don't know, bitches, gripes, or complaints. But nonetheless, you can also stream us at KFARradio.com. And also, check it out. You can also jump on the app at the iPhone or Android and listen to us live. By the way, Ty, one of our friends and listeners, was like, I can't find the archives on the KFAR radio app. Dude, it's a live button. Like, you can't find the archives there. You would literally have to go to KFARradio.com, click on the, I think it has actually a link for radio show archives or something, but if you just go to the Shooter's Corner with Chuck Indereeden box and click on that, then scroll down past the bio, then you will find all of the shows archived there.
You know, so, it's easier than that. Go to Google, you type in Shooter's Corner radio show, and it's the first thing that pops up, and it brings you right to the archives.
That is super cool. That means we're at the top of the list.
It's easy money.
Yeah. Let's start the show. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Couple reminders for the community there. The Alaska Outdoor Mentorship Program will be on February 12th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. That's 1730 to 1900 hours for our military friends. It'll be located at the TVSA range, which is over at, imagine that, 1230 TVSA Way here in Fairbanks or over there across from Fred's West. Yep, that area. The topic will be Introduction to Predator Hunting in Alaska. Not the alien predator, but I think these are the four-legged kind or something like that.
Yeah, kind of grateful for that, yeah.
I think it would be cool if we had a whole class that was dedicated to nothing but how to kill a predator.
Yeah. Review all the movies, everything, yeah.
Because those are documentaries.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Training.
Arnold's days. Talked about it openly. Like, that was not a good time in the jungle.
Agreed. Yeah. You remember Mark Richards we had on the show last week?
Yep.
From Resident Hunters of Alaska? All right. Perfect. Then remember, they still have their banquet coming up on Saturday, January 31st, over at Pioneer Park Centennial Hall, which is located at 300 Airport Way. Imagine that. So doors will open at 5 p.m. Dinner is at 6:30 p.m. There'll be a raffle as it's a fundraiser. They're going to be, I guess, catered by Big Daddy's Barbecue. And he said one of their members, I guess, makes an awesome coleslaw, so they're going to be making that. So seating is limited to 200. I did get an email back from Mark after the show last week. He said, man, that was outstanding. We enjoyed being on the show. And, oh, by the way, we only have a few tickets left now. So it was a great boost for them. But individual tickets are $60. You can go to www, what stands for what?
World Wide Web.
.residenthuntersofalaska.org. Or you can call 907-371-7436. I think that's pretty cool. That's an awesome event. So, got both things for you to go on with. First one up, January 31st, that banquet. And then when you're bored on February 12th, 2 days before Valentine's Day, take your wife over there, or spouse, or significant other, and have her learn about, maybe not a good idea.
Yeah,
you don't want to have a predator hunting thing.
Depends
on how you're... Valentine's Day is going to go.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, if you guys are in an argument, don't teach her how to kill something that's...
predatoring her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Public shooting hours at TVSA range on every Thursday from 6 to 8. Cost is $5 for members, $20 for non-members. It's a great range, good people, and it's now under new management. So fun is to be had by all. And last but not least, C4 Training Group is hosting the Active Self-Protection Skills Summit here in Fairbanks, Alaska. It'll be on June 20th and 21st. which just means it's going to be the longest training day of the year. Perfect.
I'm excited.
Me too. This exclusive immersive training event is designed to sharpen your defensive skills using ASP, that's active self-protection, evidence-based techniques. What they've been able to do is go through thousands, tens of thousands of videos and watch what has happened in real life and then extract those techniques or what has worked or even what has failed to work and put them into a class. So the instructors for that will be Neil Widener and Chris Bean. Had them on a show a couple weeks ago. You can go and listen to the archives and pick up on what they're putting down there. So you can also go to our website, c4traininggroup.com, sign up for the class, or find the link there to go to sign up for the class, or you can go directly to activeselfprotection.com/shop and sign up there. This week in firearms history, what do you think it is? Is nothing old?
Nothing old. That's good.
It's going on in Las Vegas right now.
Las Vegas. Well, mm-hmm. It's not the 2017 thing. I'm going to guess SHOT Show.
Yeah, that's what it is. Happens every year, every January. It's called the Year of the Suppressor. Not the Year of the Dragon or the Horse. The Year of the Suppressor. Apparently, everybody and their brother is coming out with a suppressor. Because that is what, you know, well, good Americans should do anyways. Is have a suppressor.
I think it's been one of the hardest things to get for a majority of people outside of felons. But yeah. I definitely think with the removal of the $200
penalty,
that barrier to entry is kind of gone. I think that's really good. The ATF opened themselves up for some lawsuits because now it's just a registry, which they even admitted, which is non-constitutional. But super excited because now maybe you've had a suppressor that's been sitting for a while. You don't want it anymore, you know, whatever. It used to just be a trust or an individual thing. Now, Silencer Shop and a lot of stores are considering purchasing used suppressors because there's no $200 fee anymore. There doesn't have to be a transfer from the store to whatever. They're not having to pay. You're not having to pay them and do all this stuff. So I think,
even as a private owner of a suppressor, I can pawn it?
I think you could. I mean, realistically, probably.
I'd be facetious in saying that I could sell it back to Silencer Shop or maybe to another FFL or something like
someone
that.
Or someone else. You can just go through the Silencer Shop.
You still have to go through the paperwork, though.
Yeah,
you still have to apply for the tax.
Yeah, you're not paying
$200. $200 penalty.
Yeah, exactly, which I think that'll be a nicer barrier to entry for some people that maybe a $500 suppressor plus a $200 tax stamp wasn't in their budget, but now someone's getting that same one for like $350 used.
Well, you know, even Sydney mentioned me the other day. She was like, where does this $200 come from? And I said, well, back in the day, in the 30s, when it was originally like came up with, they came up with that number. That was a prohibitive amount of money for a lot of people.
Yep.
Not so much anymore, to be quite honest. I mean, it could be for some, but not.
I mean, you look at it with someone in Congress is trying to introduce to have it match with inflation. $4,317 would be the cost of admission for a suppressor.
That would be a no.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Hard no. So the firearms industry's largest trade show kicked off with major announcements, including new tactical rifles from Bregera, the Platinum Stalker. I wonder if that's a Predator thing.
That's a name.
That's a name.
That is
the
a name.
The Stalker.
Yep.
You have an order taken out against it in the courts. F in America. That's funny. That's just say that out loud. F in America. Is that Fabrique Nationale? Used to make our... Didn't they make our 240 Bravos?
Yep.
They made our saws.
Yep.
A squad automatic weapons in the Army at one time. Stuff like that. So F in America came out with the next gen SCAR series with an NRHC and QD suppressor integration. There we go.
God, blew the market open.
Yeah,
finally,
blew it open.
You're able to put a suppressor on a SCAR and not void the warranty.
Yeah. I always thought a SCAR was ugly anyways.
I think the SCAR 17, the 5.56 variant, ugly as sin. But the SCAR 16, I actually think it looks pretty good, especially when you modernize it.
Yeah. Franklin Armory Prevail Series with TRC feed system. Other highlights are the Springfield Armory's Compact Echelon 4.0 FC 9mm pistol. I guess we're going to have to do a review on all of these. We might have to actually, this will be a reason to buy these.
Yeah.
I can review them. Like,
and a student comes into the class, they don't know what to look for. You know, you can have trial pistols.
Yeah, I think that's what's cool about actually having classes over at Alaska Ammo sometimes.
Yep.
They get to try them out right there. Palmetto State Armory's Glock and P320 alternatives. Hey, you're a PSA guy. Like, what did you see with their Glock thing? Are they trying to replicate it kind of like how Ruger did?
So PSA's been doing it.
Did they put that little thumb grip on the side there for your support?
No, unfortunately not. Or I guess, thank God. But no, they've cornered the market in actually listening to their consumers, and they've kind of modernized what people have wanted from a Glock, which is a chassis-capable platform, something that's a little more modular, but nowhere near as bad as how Glocks traditionally are. So they've added a ton more to it. You can actually, they've copied, not copied, but sort of mirrored the Flux Raider design for the chassis system and all that good stuff. So I think it's a good market.
Yeah, we'll see. Well, when we come back, we'll talk real quick. I want to talk about that Palmetto State Armory's foldable shotgun, though.
Yeah,
I actually saw TFB TV do a little review on that. That was actually pretty freaking cool. But also, we'll come back. We'll come back with my editorial on Hawaii's armband fiasco. That'll be interesting. Stay tuned. We'll be right back here at KFAR 97.5 660 AM with Chuck and Matt, Shooter's Corner.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too, family owned and operated, keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
Hey North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV North Pole.
Be it work or play, your truck bed will take a beating. You need to protect your investment with an Arctic Spray-On Bedliner from Auto Trim Design. This Arctic Spray-On Bedliner was developed as a commercial coating for use on the Alaska pipeline, which is constantly exposed to our extreme Arctic conditions. Why should you settle for anything sub-quality? Get your Arctic Spray-On Bedliner today at Auto Trim Design. And as Ben says, we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
KFAR weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with highs around 6 above. Easterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 5 below. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Highs level off around 4 above. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck, Matt here at Shooter's Corner here in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska, where it's 0 degrees. That means it's 50 degrees warmer than it was previously and still 70 degrees colder than what it should be. Period. I think I could live happily at like a climate that's 72 degrees year-round.
I'm thinking like I think
unfortunately
60.
It's called like some parts of California, but they've totally ruined that place, so yeah. I can't go there.
Yeah. You got a Utah. It's just a lot of weird people.
No. Even southern Utah. No, still get snow. Yeah. So, anyways, we talked about SHOT Show. I think it'll be a good topic for months to come.
Yep.
Some of the new stuff that's coming out of there. I thought it was interesting, though. I did see Palmetto State Armory came out with a foldable shotgun where you can actually fold the stock away from it and still keep four rounds in the magazine tube.
Their shotgun looks like it's something straight out of Blade Runner. And I think it looks sick because they've kind of redesigned their heat shields on it, how they're attaching stuff. They have their pump and a semi-automatic that they've rumored about, but they're all M-Lock compatible. I think they just look cool.
Right. For our older listeners, sick in his case meant that it was actually cool.
Yeah. For people born before 2000, something like Radical, and then before Rad. The 60s, probably Hip and Jive.
The Smith & Wesson M&P Metal HD steel frame pistols. Imagine that. Man, we've just gone full circle from steel to polymer, and now everybody's going back to steel.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is
the weight for shooting competitions and stuff like that.
A lot more people are taking like USPSA, IPSC, all that sort of stuff. They're taking it a lot more serious because it is a really good tool to, you know, obviously you're not training to fight 50 people at once, but really good at your thought process, determining what targets you actually need to engage from what distance, your holdovers, all that. I think it's a really good training tool to make you an overall better shooter.
So we'll see. I know one of the things that I'm going to talk about later on here is how everybody's coming out with high pressure rounds now.
Yep.
So we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But before we do that, let's get on with this editorial here, because I found this interesting. I was kind of surfing around, you know, piddling around on the internet, and I found this Hawaii's armband thing going on. And I think it like literally came from The Onion, which, if you don't know what The Onion is, it's kind of a satirical. What would be the correct way? It's like an editorial satire. So it's satorial.
It's just
it's like,
yeah, it's a satire news website. If you've never heard of it, which you're probably living under a rock, but lately it's kind of blurring the lines between real and what's not.
That's my problem with this.
Yeah,
and that is why I wanted to come up with this editorial because it literally sounds dumb enough that I think a certain segment of politicians could pick up on it and try to make it reality.
Yep,
without a doubt.
Yeah,
just because of the way they think. So, armband fiasco, a step toward discriminatory badges, or just more gun control nonsense? So, we're going to be talking about our Second Amendment rights here. Today, we're diving into the wild rumor that's been buzzing around the gun community, one that's got me shaking my head in disbelief. Word on the street, courtesy of some social media posts out of Honolulu, is that Hawaii is floating the idea of slapping bright orange armbands on law-abiding citizens who hold concealed carry permits. Yeah, you heard that right. An armband to mark folks exercising their right to self-defense. Also, businesses can spot them a mile away and decide if they're welcome inside. Is this for real? And more importantly, doesn't this smack of historical horrors where badges were used to single out and discriminate against entire groups of people? Let's unpack this insanity. First off, let's get the facts straight, or as straight as they can be with this kind of chatter. According to reports circulating on platforms like Facebook, well, Farcebook, from groups like CNC Honolulu, Hawaii lawmakers are supposedly reviewing a proposal that would require concealed carry license holders to wear a visible orange armband at least 4 inches wide on their dominant arm whenever they're out in public. The pitch? It'd make it easier for store owners, restaurant managers, and other private property folks to identify armed patrons and enforce their no-gun policies without needing big signs everywhere. Officials allegedly claim it is not about restricting who can carry, just making that status easier for others to recognize. Sounds benign? Right. Like a name tag at a convention. But hold your fire. There's no official bill number, no legislative hearing dates, and no confirmation from Hawaii state government sites or reputable news outlets. This smells like a trial balloon, a hoax, or maybe even satire gone viral, think The Onion, but with Aloha shirts. But let's entertain the idea for a moment, because even as a hypothetical, it's a doozy. Hawaii already has some of the strictest gun laws in the nation. They've got that 2023 law, the one that the Supreme Court just grilled yesterday in Wolford v. Lopez, which basically treats concealed carriers like vampires who need an explicit invitation to enter private property open to the public, like a grocery store or a gas station. No welcome mat sign saying guns are okay. You're out of luck and potentially facing a misdemeanor charge. Now layer on this armband nonsense, and you've got a system that turns concealed carry into a public spectacle. What's concealed about a glaring orange band screaming, "Hey, I'm packing heat"? It defeats the whole purpose of discretion and self-defense, where surprise can save lives. And here's where it gets downright chilling, the discrimination angle. The user who tipped us off nailed it. Isn't this eerily similar to forcing a group of people to wear identifying armbands so they could be singled out, denied service, or worse? History's littered with examples, from the yellow stars mandated by the Nazis on Jewish citizens to other badges of shame used to enforce segregation and prejudice. We're not talking about voluntary flair like a veteran's pin or a sports team bracelet. This would be government-mandated marking of a specific class of citizens, those who've gone through the hoops to legally carry for protection. In a state like Hawaii, where concealed permits are already rare, only a couple thousand issued last year, This could create a visible minority ripe for harassment, profiling, or outright exclusion. Imagine walking into a coffee shop, armband blazing, and getting the side eye or a no thanks at the door. It's not just inconvenient, it's dehumanizing. It flips the script from innocent until proven guilty to suspect because you're armed and we can see it. Proponents might argue it's about balancing rights. Property owners versus gun owners. Fair enough. Businesses should have say over their premises. But no, we've got solutions for that already. Clear signage like no firearms allowed, which is standard across the country. Why escalate to personal identifiers that could lead to social stigma? And let's not forget the safety irony. Criminals don't follow laws, so they won't be sporting these bans. This only outs the good guys, potentially making them targets for theft or worse. It's like painting a bullseye on responsible citizens while bad actors roam free. Look, Hawaii's gun control zeal is no secret. They've been pushing boundaries since Bruin forced them to issue more permits. But if this armband idea gains traction, and I pray it doesn't, it's a slippery slope toward treating the Second Amendment exercises as second-class citizens. We saw the Supreme Court justices yesterday express skepticism over Hawaii's existing no guns unless invited rule, hinting it might not hold up under constitutional scrutiny. Good, because our right to bear arms isn't a privilege to be badged and monitored. It's a fundamental freedom. Shooters, if you're in Hawaii or anywhere else facing these overreaches, stay vigilant. Contact your reps. Join groups like Hawaii Firearms Coalition. And keep the conversation going. This armband rumor might be fake news today, but ideas like it could become tomorrow's bad law if we don't push back. Remember, freedom isn't free, and neither is the fight to keep it. What say you, Matt?
You know, I think if that actually became a thing, if that's something that's, you know, actually being discussed at or at least taken seriously in Hawaii's government.
All it takes is a couple of them.
Yep, and that's the thing. Like, sorry to say this, how brain dead do you have to be to think that is the solution? You're uncomfortable because someone's, you know, concealed carry, which I can understand. You had something bad happen to you with involving a firearm, whatever. You're timid about it, sure. But we keep going back to pandering to the less than a percent of that population. We're not concerned about everyone else, your safety, your kid's safety. Nope, we don't care about that. Put this glowing armband on, you know, and hey, I'm concealed carrying. And my other thing with concern is you're doing that, you're asking for trouble, right? And now you have all this ICE stuff that's been going around. People have been getting ripped out of their vehicles. Civilians have been getting ripped out of the vehicles by ICE protesters simply because they're driving white Tahoes and they think they're undercover ICE.
Right.
And people are getting ripped out. So you do that, and now imagine the crossing guard that's wearing an orange vest going into, you know, 7-Eleven to pick up a Big Gulp or whatever, and he gets clocked in the head, or an officer draws a weapon on him because it's a no firearm zone and he has one, but he doesn't even have one. It's just an orange vest. Like, we get so caught up in all these little details and these tiny rules that we create, and then no one knows the full status around it. No one knows the actual rules and guidelines, and then it just ends up a nightmare, and innocent people end up paying the consequence for it.
I thought it was interesting. I got to tell you, when I saw this originally pop up, I was thinking to myself, but if I'm wearing my PT belt, I'm safe.
Yep, PT belt, you're good.
I had to say that, like, I was, because the joke in the military is, like, that would have happened if they were wearing a PT belt.
Yeah, what do you mean he got ran over by a tank in the middle of the night? Did he have his PT belt on? No, it's his fault?
Yeah, so, I don't know. I'm fearful sometimes when stupid ideas like this come out, and then all of a sudden you see them come to fruition. Kind of like you were saying, there's like this blurred line between sometimes especially with the Onion website. And some other satire things that come out of like Hollywood or something like that, to where it's like, oh my God, that was actually reality.
Yeah.
So I hope it never gets to that point. But nonetheless, we're about ready to roll into our next half hour mandatory break. So I just wanted to leave our listeners with that. But when we come back, you know, I kind of mentioned that one of the things that you see coming out of SHOT is these newer high pressure rounds. that are coming out. We're going to talk a little bit about the high-pressure rounds and some of the other stuff that's coming out of this new SHOT Show. High-pressure rounds haven't been around forever, but they're making some changes to the casings of the cartridges that allow them to do higher pressures. So stay tuned. We're here at Shooter's Corner in the great city of Fairbanks, Alaska. We'll be right back, 97.5, 660 AM. Stay tuned with us.
Broadcasting from the Satellite West Studio, you're listening to KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. President Trump announcing yesterday he'd agree to the framework of a future deal with NATO involving Greenland and the Arctic region. Greenland's Prime Minister Jens Frederik Nielsen addressing the agreement for the first time today. He says he wants to talk more with the United States.
We are ready to cooperate more in economics and in other areas, but that's something we have to talk about in mutual respect.
The president says he's canceled the planned tariff against European allies who oppose the U.S. takeover of Greenland. Texas Governor Greg Abbott with an update on a big winter storm expected to hit the state this weekend. He offered a simple message to residents in impacted counties.
If you're in an area with this ultra-cold temperature that also has precipitation, do not be on the road unless you have to be on the road. You can save your own life and save your own property and save those around you.
35 states is going to be affected by this storm. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Two Alaska school districts filed a lawsuit Tuesday in Anchorage Superior Court against the state, its governor, and its education commissioner over what they say is a long-running failure to adequately fund public education. The Anchorage Daily News reports, in the complaint, the Kuspik School District and the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District argue the state is failing to meet its constitutional obligation, both to provide Alaska students a sound basic education and meaningful opportunity for proficiency in vital subjects, and to fund schools and school districts at a level that is adequate to provide students with a sound basic education. The plaintiffs are seeking a declaratory judgment that the state is violating the Alaska Constitution by failing to sufficiently fund public education. It's not a coincidence the suit was filed on the same day legislators convened in Juneau for this year's legislative session, according to Fairbanks North Star Borough School District Superintendent Luke Meinert. I think it sends the message that the work on education funding is not done, said Meinert. We're calling on this year's legislature to continue to work
streaming
on that issue.
Online at KFAR660.com.
It's remote start season at Auto Trim Design. With our variety of CompuStar remote starts available, we are sure to have an option to fit everyone's needs. Enjoy many features like smartphone control with drone mobile, two-way rechargeable remotes, proximity unlock, additional security alarm, and so much more. With over 30 years of experience, Auto Trim Design takes pride in being CompuStar's only pro dealer in the interior. Contact us today to set up your appointment to have your remote start professionally installed. Stay warm with Auto Trim Design this winter.
Customized by Auto Trim Design.
Hey North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV in North Pole.
What does it look like when your faithful friend in the driveway has an off day? Well, it looks like no fun, like bumming a ride to work, the store, rescheduling lunch with your yoga instructor, all because your four-wheeled pal is waiting for parts. We do our own routine maintenance, but our chariot depends on us to schedule that for them. Airboat and inboard service too, family owned and operated, keeping Fairbanks on the road since 1967. Rogers Auto Repair.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, listeners. You're here with Chuck and Matt here at Shooter's Corner here in Fairbanks, Alaska. You're listening to us currently at 97.5 or 660 AM. Remember, you can also listen to us all the time live. No, it doesn't matter where you are, by clicking on that little KFAR Radio app and stream the show live every Thursday from 11 to 12. All right, so we just got done talking about Hawaii and their maybe satire, but we know how things can come to life in this country, just even when somebody thought it was a joke. But go back and listen to that at our archive. We're going to talk now about some of the things that are coming out here at the SHOT Show 2026 that's going on currently in Las Vegas, Virginia, or Nevada. Why did I almost say Virginia?
It's all the Wild West.
Wild, Wild West. All right, so anyways, cool. All right, so I think we need to preface it with the historical context of how cartridge casings were originally designed. So we all know, at least some of you know, that rimfire cartridges were the original invention, right? So that's how they did it. But what they found is that there was a flaw in that design that caused some leakage. So rimfire cartridges were invented back in the mid-19th century, around 1845, by Louis Nicolas Flaubert. Did I say that correctly, probably?
You said it perfect, yeah.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yep.
I'll use my French accent, my German accent.
You can put up your surrender flag right now.
Yeah, making them one of the first self-contained metallic cartridges. The priming compound is distributed inside the hollow rim of the case, and ignition occurs when the firing pin crushes the rim, deforming the thin brass to detonate the primer. This was a major advancement over earlier systems like pinfire or paper cartridges, which often had even worse sealing issues. I can see paper. I remember having paper shotgun shells when I was a kid. One of my dad's friends gave me like a couple hundred of them one time, and I reloaded them.
So. Wow.
Yeah.
Were you using those when you guys were dumping tea in the Boston Harbors?
Shut up, son. All right. However, to allow the rim to be easily crushed, the case had to be relatively thin and soft. This made rimfire inherently weaker than later centerfire designs, which were invented in the 1860s. All right, so limiting them to low chamber pressures, typically under 24,000 to 30,000 PSI. At higher pressures or with defects, the crushed rim could fail or fully contain the expanding gases, including or leading to leaks or even case ruptures at the strike point. Gas would escape rearward through the action, potentially causing blowback, fouling, or injury to the shooter. Issues that were more pronounced in earlier or early black powder loadings or poorly manufactured ammo. So there's obturation failure, which is the thin case was designed to expand against the chamber walls to seal gases, but if it didn't, due to brittleness or excessive headspace or wear, leaks occurred. In rim fire, the rim dent was a weak spot where this failure often manifested as the crushing action could weaken or pierce the brass. And I've seen that before, even with some .22 long rifle before, at least especially with older stuff. Extraction issues. Leaks could also blacken cases or cause rims to tear during extraction, compounding reliability problems. So centerfire cartridges address these flaws by using a thicker, stronger case with a central primer that could be replaced, allowing for higher pressures, up to 65,000 PSI, and better sealing without relying on a deformable rim. This is why centerfire largely replaced rimfire for military and high-power applications by the late 1800s, though rimfire persisted for low-cost, low-recoil uses like plinking and small game hunting. And it's the reason why we have .22 long rifles still, which was originally introduced back in 1887. And that brings us past the regular brass centerfire to what we all is the rage now, the high-pressure cartridges. High-pressure rifle rounds are cartridges engineered to handle significantly higher chamber pressures than traditional brass-cased ammo, which, like I said before, is typically 55 to 65,000 PSI. By using advanced metals like hybrid brass steel or proprietary alloys, they achieve magnum-level velocities and ballistics from compact cases and shorter barrels, making them ideal for modern rifles, suppressors, and applications like hunting, long-range shooting, and military use. This technology reduces recoil, improves efficiency, and extends effective range without needing larger actions or more powder. As of 2026, the field is evolving rapidly, with innovations from U.S. military's next-generation squad weapon program influencing civilian designs. Key newest high-pressure rounds are up to, with these hybrid and alloy case tech, up to 80,000 PSI safely. Here's what stands out. So there is a round, Matt, believe it or not, called the 7mm Backcountry, or the BC. was introduced by Federal Premium in 2025, and this is one of the newest civilian high-pressure cartridges. It uses a one-piece peak alloy steel case, a high-strength aerospace-grade material, for 80,000 PSI operation, delivering the 7mm Remington Magnum performance in a non-Magnum short-action package similar to a 280 Remington dimensions. That is freaking insane. Chamber pressure is 80,000. This is kind of the stats here. Velocities, 3,000 plus feet per second with 170 grain bullets from a 20-inch barrel, up to 3,200 feet per second from a 24-inch. What am I getting like? Are we starting to get into railgun velocities?
I think we're getting real close.
Bullet options are 155 to 195 grains, and some of their bullet names are Terminal Ascent, Barnes LRX, the Berger Elite Hunter, and the Fusion Tipped. Uses, obviously, are big game hunting, elk, deer, bear, out to 800-plus yards. Excels in lightweight suppressed rifles for backcountry scenarios. Higher magazine capacity, fits standard 30-06 length reactions, mild recoil, 15 to 20 foot-pounds, and no belt for smoother feeding. The belt is the, for the listeners that don't know, belted casings are the ones that have that little band around the bottom, like on a 300 Win Mag would be a belted ammunition. Barrel life is comparable to standard rounds despite pressure. And then also the cons. There are some cons. So steel cases are harder to reload. It's funny, as I was writing this and putting this together, you know, we know our devices listen to us.
Yep.
So I think there's a guy named, is it Ron Spooner, that does like an outdoor show on YouTube?
I think so, yeah.
So anyways, he was talking about how he has a friend who was loading, or trying to reload, I should say, a 7mm backcountry, right? And it is a steel case, mm-hmm. a solid steel case. Some of the other hybrids have a steel base with a brass upper, so you can reload them easier. But in this particular case, it was a solid steel. And he was like, huh, I think I found out that I need to actually lubricate these a lot more because you put a light coat of lubrication maybe on a brass one, which is softer, and then you put it in your die set and you like resize it, okay? And it doesn't take a lot of effort because brass, right? But he said with a steel, he actually torqued on it so hard, it broke the case. What's a little handler thing that's at the bottom? Like, can't remember the name off the top of my head. I even reload too. Anyways, it broke that when he was trying to extract it back out of the die.
Oh, my.
And he had to actually disassemble the die to be able to even get the case out of it.
So, jeez.
It was like, the case holder.
Yeah.
Right? It broke that when he was trying to extract it back out of it. So if you're going to reload steel casings, just make sure you like lube it up really hard. So anyways, got a caller. Go ahead. Let him in to our den of conversation.
Hello.
Hello. This is Chuck and Matt. Who we got here?
This is Tom Kennedy.
Mr. Tom, how you doing, sir?
Hey, do you know who Taylor Friel is?
Taylor Friel. Should I?
He's a local guy here in town. Okay. He runs Tundra Talk. He's a writer for Outdoor Life.
Gotcha. Okay.
He's a young guy in his 40s.
Okay.
He and Jon Snow have probably done more extensive research on the 7mm backcountry than anybody.
Period. Okay.
I mean, he's shooting thousands of rounds in backcountry. And he says the key thing to look at is there are a couple companies that actually have like redesigned their guns to handle those pressures. And so the two rifles that have completely redesigned their structures are Proof Research and Seekins.
Mm-hmm.
Now at this time, both Seekins and Proof, they proofed their rifles at 125,000 PSI rather than 80,000 PSI like standard rifles do.
I was looking through my notes to see if I actually had that. Some of the versions that I saw are SIGs coming out with an MCX Spear because it's shooting a 277 SIG Fury, which is coming out at 80,000 PSI as well, almost approaching 3,000 feet per second. 120,000 PSI. Oh, that's
125,000. That's what both Seekins and Proof do.
That's insane.
What
Proof makes really good barrels, though, by the way, too.
Yeah. So they use a Zermatt action, but they retest them. They proof every single one that way. But if you are interested in that topic, Tyler is the guy. What he said is a lot of companies like Weatherby and even Christensen have been getting the back countries, and users put about 500 to 600 rounds in it, and they don't notice like barrel head erosion. You know,
right.
If you look at all those rifles, they're really a lot thicker at the barrel channel. You know, right up by the chamber, they're just built and reinforced in that section. But what he notices is that there's action headspace issues if you know after about 500 to 600 rounds.
Yeah. All right, cool. Tom, I hate to do this to you. If you want to hold on until after the break, you can, but we got to go into our break, okay?
Talk to Tyler.
I will. I got his name written down here. I'll reach out to a couple other guys, too, Mike Condis over at the mentorship program, and see if he knows who he is and get me hooked up with him as well. So
yeah, Tyler's your guy.
Sounds like great. I got it wrote down. Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, we got to go into our last break for the show here. So stay tuned with us here at Shooter's Corner with Chuck and Matt. We'll be right back after this. We'll continue on this conversation about the newest high-pressure rounds out. So be right back.
You can plan on it every day. You're either building something or you're repairing and adjusting stuff around the house. The list is long, from squeaking hinges to the annoying kitchen cabinet that refuses to stay shut. Well, there's always something, right? Sticky doors to the occasional wiring job and everything in between. You need tools, and Century Hardware has your back with the hand tools, power tools, and the largest selection of fasteners in the interior. Open every day. Century Hardware. What you need right now.
Hey North Pole Fairbanks, it's Preston with family-owned and operated Price RV. Winter's knocking. Is your RV ready? Bring it to us at Price RV. We'll protect your RV's water system against frozen, cracked water lines. Have us winterize your rig now and receive a free roof inspection. Prevent those small leaks from becoming expensive problems next spring. We take care of your rig and treat it like one of our own. Get winter ready. Give us a call now. Price RV North Pole.
Auto Trim Designs Tint and Paint Protection Film Department is now open. The professional installers are ready to keep your vehicles looking sharp and protected all year long. Auto Trim Designs self-healing PPF shields your paint from scratches and wear, helping your car stay flawless for years. And with their window films, it adds a stylish deep black color to your vehicle windows. It also provides protection from harmful UV rays, reduces glare, and increases privacy. From exterior protection to interior comfort, Auto Trim Design has you covered. Stop by today.
KFAR weather.
Highs around 6 above today. Under partly cloudy skies, winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, lows level off around 5 below. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 4 above. Partly cloudy and dry Saturday and Sunday with highs in the single digits above zero. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, listeners. You're with Chuck.
Cut that a little quick, all right?
Matt kind of like threw me off right there because like, it's like, okay, what? Just
keep everyone on their toes. We're yawning over here.
Yeah, we're good. All right, he didn't press the button. All right. You're back with Chuck and at Shooter's Corner here, KFAR Studios in Fairbanks. You're listening to us 97.5, 660 AM. Remember, if you missed any part of this show or even last week's show, because I think it's important that you go on there and listen to how edible beavers are. Just throwing that out there.
Yep.
Just cray-cray.
Yep.
But nonetheless,
love a delicious beaver meal.
Mm-hmm. Apparently the tail is even more delicious. I don't know. Call me crazy. But nonetheless, do we have a caller?
Yes, we do.
All right, let's take a call. All right, you're here with Chuck and Matt here at Shooter's Corner. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Matt.
Real quick, I'm confused. There's so many different automatic pistols on the market these days.
Okay.
I'm looking for, like, what would be your pick for a reliable protection pistol that has at least a 4.5-inch barrel, 15-plus clip, 9mm, under $1,200?
Glock 47.
Glock 47.
Okay, let me preface it with this. I don't know who you are. So I don't know what your hand size is, your hand strength is. Do you have any infirmities?
I have a 357 Magnum 8-inch barrel, 7-shot Smith & Wesson that I've been using.
Okay.
So I'm a pretty good shot.
Okay, sounds great. So a 47 probably wouldn't be bad. That's kind of like pushing a Glock 19 frame with a 17 upper, but yeah, like it's good. But I don't know, like, can you manipulate or have you manipulated a semi-auto before in the past?
I used to have a Heckler & Koch P7.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah, way back in the day with the Parabellum Twist, which they don't make anymore. I wish I would have kept it. It would be worth like $7,000 right now.
Yeah, I would say literally that you probably wouldn't have any issues with any of the modern or the newer semi-automatic handguns that are out there right now. I got to tell you this. Watch the new SHOT Show. There are some guns that are coming out now that are literally compact size with stackable 20-round magazines now. Like, it is insane what the industry is starting to be able to come up with. For instance, I know, like, the P365, when it originally came out, they literally built the magazine first and then built the gun around the magazine.
Yep.
So they're able to get really good capacity out of those. Which, I mean, a lot of people are like, well, why you don't carry that many rounds? Well, nobody ever complains about how many rounds they carry unless they're on fire or drowning.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah.
So.
Well, so the Glock 47, because I don't even know how to investigate the SHOT Shows and what's new. Or
no, that's no problem. Be quite honest with you. I've been to one in the past where I was working with the NRA carry guard, and it's insane. SHOT Show was originally designed as a way for manufacturers to basically show their wares at an industry level to the media. That thing is literally turned into a reunion.
Yep.
Is what it's turned into. Like, so there's tens of thousands of people there.
Yeah.
As I would say, it's literally a sausage fest. Like, I've never seen so many dudes in my life in one location. Yep. Like, it's insane. But
well, it's a cult following.
It is. It is. And most of them are all like team guys or dev group guys or CAG guys or something like that, to where they're like marketing something. So
right.
That's the reality of it.
So what would be the best way to find out what's new?
So you can go on YouTube.com and you can just look up SHOT Show Day 1 Roll-Up 2026. And there will be the highlights from what's new from each company, whether it's firearms, gear, communications, all that sort of stuff. You can do that because it should be this entire week. They should be doing rollouts for SHOT Show.
And it's a four-day program.
Yeah, and then if you go on TFB TV too, James Reeves, he'll do great day-by-day reviews. He'll have good one-on-one discussions and interviews, and then he'll have a full SHOT Show roll-up of his most favorite things, things that he think can help the market, and things that he thinks just are kind of worthless. So it's a good idea to look at a bunch of different sources and make an educated guess off of that.
And one other thing you can do too, you can always...
Name again?
James Reeves with, if you just look up TFB TV, so the Firearms Blog TV.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, here's another option too. Do you live in the Fairbanks area?
Yes. Okay. On Old Murphy Dome Road.
Yeah, no problem. The other thing you can do too, just reach out to us, c4traininggroup.com. Shoot us an email. It's Chuck at c4traininggroup.com or CEO at c4traininggroup.com or c4tgllc@gmail.com. Doesn't matter. Just go to our website. Okay.
Give me the easiest one.
Okay. Yeah, just go to c4traininggroup.com.
c4traininggroup.com.
Shoot us an email. Just click on there.
Right. Okay.
And we'll have Cindy, one of our, well, the other lady that's on the show with me, my spouse. Awesome. By the way, I know she's listening. Anywho, she can reach out to you, and we can just try different handguns. Find out which one you like, which one works best for you.
Okay.
Because we have that option.
Traininggroup.com.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm driving. I'm trying to talk to you guys. I can multitask really well. But
well, I don't want you driving and operating a screen device at the same time. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, just go there or just, yeah, no problem. Okay. Just Google us, Firearms Instruction Fairbanks. We are like the top one. So
okay.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I appreciate your help.
Yeah, we'll get you squared away one way or the other.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're absolutely welcome. All right, cool. High pressure. Oh, I think here's the primary reason why, and a lot of people are like, well, why do they have to go back to steel case? Because I literally tell everybody in our classes, if you love your gun, don't shoot steel case ammo out of it. Remember me telling people that? Because it will go by, and not to make a disparaging comment about like MagTech, but they just came out with steel case 9mm, which on extraction is literally pulling small parts back out. I think people need to understand that when steel expands in the chamber, it doesn't have the ability to contract, hence the reason why also reloading these steel cased high pressure rounds is difficult. So I find it interesting that it is steel and not brass. But here's kind of the conundrum. Brass has a problem under high pressure, and that is it deforms. So standard brass cases aren't strong enough to safely contain the pressures above 80,000 PSI without deforming, which can cause the brass to flow or extrude into unsupported areas on the bolt face, such as the extractor groove or ejector hole. This phenomenon, also called case head flow or brass extrusion, can cause malfunctions like stuck cases, difficult extraction, case head separation, or even catastrophic failures. I've seen that case head extraction or separation before in a rifle class that we were teaching out here a couple of years ago, as a matter of fact, where the guy had actually reloaded some of his .223 in the past, and so obviously it's getting weaker.
Yeah.
It literally, and I think also it had to do with a lot with the fact that he had a black, I don't know, man, why am I at a loss of words today? What's a little a black spring in his extractor on his AR bolt? So it made it extra heavy. Like it wouldn't roll around the case rim. So it's like our heavy duty extractor that we would use. Incredibly hard to put on. You got to like use a pair of freaking needle nose to put that
really
in there.
Yeah, really put your back into it.
Yeah. Anyways, so it ripped it off. And then another round wouldn't be able to chamber in behind it because what? The rest of the casing was still in the chamber.
Yep.
So... anyway, so I've seen that case at separation before, but anyways, because brass is relatively soft and ductile with a yield strength that allows it to expand and seal the chamber during firing, but you know, contract back down for extraction during what we call that dwell cycle. But at extremely high pressures, beyond 65,000 per SAMI guidelines, it becomes overly plastic, believe it or not. So the case head can then deform rearward under the intense back thrust, pushing material into any gaps or cuts on the bolt face. This flow can shear off brass shavings, enlarge primer pockets, or bind the action, making the rifle unreliable or unsafe. So in military or high-volume applications, it also accelerates the wear on the bolt and chamber. So traditional brass cartridges are typically limited to the 55 or 62,000 PSI. Up to 80,000 if you're really pushing it, but 65,000 per SAMI. Normally seen in calibers like 6.5 Creedmoor or 308. So, but the steel alloys, like Federal's Peak Alloy and the 7mm Backcountry, have much higher tensile and yield strength than brass, allowing them to act as a mini pressure vessel that absorbs and contains the energy without excessive stretching or cracking. This prevents flow into the extractor ejector and enables velocities 200 to 300 feet per second higher than comparable brass cased rounds. So I think it's something to look into for sure. And taking Tom's advice, we'll see if we can reach out to this Tyler gentleman. So I think that's pretty cool. But we have like 1 minute left. Our next ACHP class is going to be our Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class, basic pistol class. It's posted on our website at c4traininggroup.com. That class is going to be on the 21st and 22nd of February. Remember, active self-protection. We'll be coming to Fairbanks, Alaska. Their next class will be June 20th and 21st. Remember, you can also go to our Facebook page, C4 Training Group, or C4TG LLC. You can click on the links there. As well, we've had posted there as a little advertisement. So Chris Bean and Neil Widener, who are both excellent trainers coming up from the active self-protection team and out of the lower 48. I think Chris is coming out of like Georgia. Neil comes out of like South Dakota, but great guys. So please go to our website, check that out. As always, stay safe out there. Drive with your headlights on. And as Matt says, brush your taillights off as well. But everybody stay safe. Come on, next week we'll have Montana Kid Hammer here. Stay tuned for next week. Peace out.
You've been listening to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Price RV, Auto Trim Design, by Rogers Auto Repair, and by Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or any past episode, log on to KFARradio.com and click on the archive page. And thanks for listening to Shooter's Corner.
Your voice, your station. This